Boom, here we go with a brand new episode, not even a brand new episode, a bonus pod episode of Fat to Fit or Else, which has been renamed after the fire F Gavin Newsom. Then it was renamed after the fire F Karen Bass right in the A. And so that's where it's been. But right now, I try to do a little of everything. I try to do some Fat to Fit or Else health stuff, get back to my roots. And by the way, if you're just joining us, I know a lot of people have jumped on since I've been talking about the fire and after the fire and ranting about that stuff. This initially was, I'm a fat old bastard that lived in the Palisades and I was getting fatter and I needed to get healthy. So I started this podcast. I've been a radio host and a podcast host for pretty much all of my adult life. And so I was like, I'll start this podcast and hold myself accountable to work out. And then I did a great job until last year, which, by the way, next week will be the 1 year anniversary of my shoulder surgery, which I'm glad I did. I'm pain free. I can sleep again. But boy, was that the biggest bitch I've ever had in my life. That was the biggest bitch ever. I blew out my rotator cuff and had to have surgery in four different spots. So there was also tore a bicep tendon and then the rotator cuff in two spots, one completely torn and then the other partially torn. And then there was another spot they had to, it came loose too, that they had to spot up and lots of screws, but not metal screws that like set off the metal detector in the airport. They are more like biodegradable screws, I guess, or plastic screws. That I have the picture of everything in the video. It was really cool, but I am finally healed from that. And they BS you when you get that shoulder surgery done. And let me tell you, if you do, I didn't sleep for about 6 weeks. Like, seriously, didn't sleep. Like, no sleep. I'm just incredibly grateful now looking back that I had last year and I was able to stay home and recover. I couldn't imagine if I would have had to have evacuated in that situation. And you know, there's somebody who had a surgery or something and their house burned down and they were trying to, you know, be on crutches or something like that. I couldn't imagine. So I have been blessed that I was completely healed. And it took, they're like, yeah, you should be good in about, you know, 3 months. And I'm like, 3 months? I was planning on going back to working out. And then I tried and then it really hurt when I did. It just wasn't great. So I've just abandoned working out altogether, not going to lie. And I was turning into just being a ranting fat man and talking about food and this and that and walking my dogs and kind of what I did for exercise. And then voila, my house burned down. And that just gave me a whole new motivation to rant about stuff. Update on that. We've got more money from the insurance company. Insurance company is State Farm and have been solid, absolutely solid. I know we, like I said, I lived in a regular house. I was a non-rich dude in the Palisades. I know most people think Palisades, you think, oh, rich people are in the Palisades. And there was a lot of insurance policies canceled up there. Those were the rich people, like the $20 million houses and stuff. They were getting their policies canceled. I lived in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1-story home that was built in the 1950s, and we've been there for 23 years, and it's, you know, not a huge house, and we're not incredibly wealthy. So that's the deal. We got that done. I have updates on my bad luck besides my house burning down and everything else you've heard. I haven't had any more, knock on wood, since over the weekend when I broke a tooth eating a fucking pretzel. God, it's insanity. It is insanity. We broke a tooth eating a pretzel, and I haven't been to the dentist yet. It's not that bad. I have to go get that fixed. I'm not going to go to the West Side this weekend and visit my family because, well, they're annoying. Well, actually, my wife's annoying. My daughter, I got to see tonight. I have had the most hellish week you could possibly imagine with work. I work 10 hours a day, every day, 9 to 10 hours, every day. And that's a grind to some degree. It's a little extra. It grinds you down. That's Monday through Friday. And then sometimes I work on the weekend, and lately I've worked on the weekend. And then sometimes I work at night, and lately I've been working at night a lot. And then they sprung some bullshit on me, and I worked 2 14-hour days, like back to back, one day no lunch break. And tonight was the second half of that. So I was like, you know what? Screw this. I ended up at LAX with one of our clients, and then I looked at my thing, and it was like 1:45 back to the office at that. By the time we were done, I don't know what was going on in the world that traffic was that bad. But I just, LAX is right literally next to my daughter's college. So I called her. Remember, she lives there now since the fire. And I said, hey, I'm going to come over. Let's grab something to eat. So I got to have a little bit of dinner with my daughter tonight, and it was cool. I love seeing my kids. Tomorrow, my son is coming to my work, and I'm so mad at my work that I'm going to take like 1.5-hour lunch and have no Fs to give. Like, they've abused me so bad this week. And the last one, the one tonight, the extra bullshit tonight, when they're like, oh, we need you to take that client back to the airport that you picked up yesterday. I'm like, no, because I knew they had a night flight. It was bullshit. And so I was pissed. And the client's right there. I'm not going to say, yeah, F you. Get an Uber, prick. But that's what I wanted to say to my boss. And I ended up doing that. So I have so much overtime this week. I have no Fs to give. And I told my son, come in at like 11. I'll call relief up and we'll just go. I'm going to do Shakey's Lunch of Bunch Buffet. That's the best stuff ever. I haven't done that in a fat long time. Shakey's Lunch Buffet is pizza, fried chicken, and the Mojo potatoes. And if you're a true fat man, I will give you the secret. They also have like weird veggies and mashed potatoes and gravy. And they also have salad, and they have shredded cheese in the salad bar. Here's the pro tip as a fat person. You get a plate. You go get the Mojo potatoes, which are next level awesome. You dump the gravy from the mashed potatoes on top of the Mojos, and then you put the grated cheese on top of all of that. It's really good. It's seriously good to do that. And then you have some pizza with that, and I'm sorry. You know, I love pizza, and I don't care if it's Domino's pizza or fancy expensive pizza. I'll eat frozen pizza. I really liked, a couple weeks ago, I bought a pizza, you know, the meat on meat pizza at Walmart, but it's the one that's already made, but you bring it home and bake it yourself. It was really good. I was thoroughly pleased with that pizza. I'm no Dave Portnoy, no pizza snob.
Let me do the one bite, gotta have that crust, gotta have the chunk, gotta have the sauce, gotta have the...
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Pizza's pizza. I like pizza. It's just no matter what. I'll eat microwave pizza. I don't care. It's all good. And don't get me wrong, there's better pizza and higher quality pizza, but I'm a fan of the old pizza, and I will have any kind of pizza anytime that I can. It's a bitch when I'm doing keto, and I end up doing the only place that I can do keto pizza is the Papa John's. Another good one, if you're going to do the keto pizza, go to Papa John's and get a pizza bowl. It's really good. They have frozen pizza bowls. There's a couple brands in the store. And it's basically just pizza made into a bowl. There's no bread at all. And you can totally do it on keto. It's kind of dirty keto. It's got a lot of fat. But you can make it. You can also make those at home. If you get like a small glass dish for your oven, and then you just put a little cheese, sauce, pepperoni, your toppings, more cheese, more sauce, bake that thing up until it's good and gooey, and it's really good. It's a really good thing to have, because you really crave things like pizza when you're doing keto. And then the other one is the meat crust pizza, and I make that a lot too. I love pizza, and that one is a can of chicken, you know, it's like the can of tuna, but it's chicken breast. And you take that, you add an egg, you also put in 1/2 cup of the grated Parmesan cheese, the kind of stuff that you put on top of pasta. You know, it comes usually in like a big green jar. Put about a half cup of that in there with the can of chicken and the one egg. And then you mix it really, really good. And then put it on parchment paper. And then put parchment paper on top of it. And then roll it in a rolling pin until it's very, very thin. Then onto a cookie sheet into your oven. I typically cook it, like you just got to watch it. Depends on your oven, 350 to 400. I would usually cook it for about 5 to 10 minutes, then flip it and then cook it another 5 minutes or so, and then take it out, because once you flipped it, it's good to put the toppings on and go ahead and put it in. It does get a little soggy. It's not super, not going to lie. It's not super crispy like a good thin crust New York style pizza, or even a thin crust pizza period, but it's got a little crust to it, and it will suffice, and it's worth it. Another great thing to do if you're on the keto. Now, another thing I have to update you guys on, I told you I was going to start the methylene blue, and I did that. I had the all clear from the doctor. I apparently have no prescriptions that would interfere with it, even though they're like, why are you doing that? I'm like, shut up, because I'm stupid. I'm an influencer. Don't you know? And I've been taking that. Now, here's my observation. Been taking it since Sunday night I took it the first time. And it's Thursday night now, so today is Friday. Not even a week yet. But the advice that I read and everything, as I read up on everything, I don't want to just take something that's going to make me sick. And I took this stuff, and it said, take it in the morning, because at night, if you take it, it can keep you up, and you might not get the best sleep. Well, I've noticed, because I haven't been taking it in the morning, and that was my plan. I was going to take that advice. I'm a dumbass, and I'm busy, and I'm running out the door like a chicken with my head cut off in the morning. I didn't take it one day. So every night, right when I got home from work, I took it, and I noticed I've been sleeping really good. Ever since the fire, I'm having a lot of things on my mind. I'm not going to tell you I'm needing to go to therapy, but I'm going to tell you I'm post-traumatized from the fire, from the whole thing. And I seriously am. I wake up every single night between 1 and 3 o'clock. Sometimes I can't go back to sleep for an hour or two, and I just have a million things racing through my head, and I'm worried about stuff. And that's not me. I'm not a worrier. That's not who I am. And that's not happened to me much in my life, unless something really bad was hanging over my head. But there's nothing hanging over my head other than I don't have a home, and I'm away from my family, and it's weird. It's really weird. So I'm noticing that now. The methylene blue has really helped me sleep better. And typically I'll take like a weed gummy or something if I'm on the weekend, so it'll make me sleep. That stuff is wonderful. I actually use weed for what it is for, medicinal purposes. I can't stand that stuff. I can't stand the smell of it. I can't stand that people have to be high to exist. It's just mind-numbing to me, but I will take one gummy and go to sleep and sleep like a bird. But, and I only do that on weekend because I tend to be groggy after I take those in the when I wake up. It's weird. But the methylene blue, I've had the opposite effect with me as far as sleeping. I've noticed, and I was in a good mood, but then I got in a really bad funk with this. Like, I'm really annoyed. Because what I told you guys, I have a lot on my mind. I have a lot of stress right now in my life. I'm going through a lot. And I keep every day I'm reminded of, oh, I don't have this. I don't have that. I lost this. I lost that. I'll never have this again. There's just constant reminders that just bum you out. And I'm on edge. And then my work, dogpiling fucking work on me is not helping right now. Like, they are burying me in work for the last 2 weeks. I've been working so much. And then my dog is a pain in the ass. No matter how late I work, I have to go walk the dog. And tonight we had fun. Tonight I worked late, but first thing I did when I came home was take him for a walk. But I had a package delivered from Mr. Iceman at Amazon. I bring him new toys constantly because he just needs stimulation. He needs mental stimulation. He needs physical stimulation. He needs the exercise. He needs all of that to keep him calm because he's a wild dog. So I bought a toy that I haven't had time to put together because I've been working so much this week. But I also just got it this morning. And it's a thing that you hang in a tree or around a pole. And it's for the dog to play tug of war by themselves. I'm really hoping he'll take to that. And then I also bought a ball that has a rope on the end of it because that mofo won't give the ball back anymore. He went from loving to play fetch because he'd get a treat every time we brought the ball back to saying, F you and your treats, I don't want it. You throw the ball once, you're never getting it back, and you try to pry it out of his mouth, and he sits there growling at you the whole time you're trying to get them. You're like, dude, I'm trying to play with you, and he's just like, and I'm like, give me the ball. He's not going to bite me. He isn't. He is just going to growl and be a jerk, and then we play. So then when I changed the game to where I would let him get the ball, and he wouldn't give it back, so then I would chase him, and he would run from me so that I couldn't get the ball, and that was how we were both getting our exercise at the dog park. But tonight, I had the ball with the rope on it, and that was way better, and you can tell I'm doing the podcast right now, and you don't hear ice because he is sound the F asleep behind me in his bed because that dude ran tonight. He got ran at the dog park, which is great, great for him. And now, hopefully, knock on wood, I really hope he takes to the tug-of-war toy, which I will hook up tomorrow. I'm going to put that out there and hook that puppy up. No update still on the car. I told you guys we had a car at work that got chewed up by rats, and it was $10,000 in damage. And something I didn't know at the time, and it still blows me away, that the wiring on a lot of new American cars is made out of corn and rats are attracted to it. We had two cars parked side by side. One was an old regular car. They didn't touch that thing. And then one was a new car, a really expensive new car. And they got in there and did $10,000 worth of damage, chewing up all of the wiring in that car because apparently the wiring is made from corn. Really cool to be all green and shit, isn't it? If you go back to the old school wiring, rats won't eat your car. And if you've had that problem or you have a newer car, be careful because if it's a hippie car, American made, and it's got corn wiring, rats will be drawn to that thing and they will gnaw down on it. And you will look at, I knew a person that had $5,000 damage and I thought, wow, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Rats did $5,000 damage to your car. And now I have one in my own wheelhouse that is $10,000. That is freaking nuts, man. Another fire thing, if you're a fire victim, if you have found me through the fire stuff, you're Eaton fire victim or a Palisades fire victim, my friend Patty, this is old school here. If you guys know who Power Mouth Patty is, she was a long time ago when I was a baby in radio. I was 18. She was the partner of Jay Thomas on Power 106. That's the first radio job I ever had, was working there. And I know Patty, and I've really got to know her in the last couple of years because she was close with one of my friends who passed away, and we've been talking ever since, and she's been amazing ever since the fire, just sending me info like, hey, did you know this? Did you know this? And she sent me a link today that Rick Caruso, the guy that owns the Grove and the Mall and the Palisades, is giving away houses to people who can't afford it. And it's really cool. They're like prefab houses and they're really nice. They're small, but I saw an interview with a guy who had one and he's given away 100 of these things. And if the guy was like an artist and he was about 70 years old and his insurance wouldn't pay to rebuild his house and he thought he was done, and Caruso gave him one of these homes and the guy is ecstatic. They're going to clean up his lot and drop this house on there, and that's what he's going to live in. And that is damn cool if you were looking at, you know, the other option of being, oh, well, I guess I have to sell my dirt lot because I can't rebuild my house, and then renting for the rest of your life. Not cool. So really, really awesome thing. But, yeah, Patty sent me that today, and I thought that was very awesome. She's a very sweet lady, Patty Lotz. One of the few good people in radio. We had that discussion on the last podcast, but there are those out there that are really, really good. What it is, trying to get into all of the crap I have to discuss. I always, in the podcast, I go, damn it, I didn't talk about this. Damn it, I had to talk about this. And then I don't, because I'm stupid. I'm so stupid. Remember that kid? That's an old school Jamie and Danny thing way back. We had those kids. We would babysit the kids at Christmas and take their moms out to like shopping and a spa. And we had this one kid, and he was just, we got him on the radio, and he starts going, I'm so stupid. And we turned it into a drop. It was this little kid. And we were like, man, what do people tell that kid? What is he told at home? Oh, God, it was funny. That kid was a crack up. But yeah, we had a good time doing those things. I'm glad I don't do them anymore, though. I'm really honestly glad I don't do them anymore. Oh, man, I heard other radio news that a big boss of one of the radio clusters got fired this week. I'm like, dude, it's a miracle any of them have a job at all. Just so you know, too, we are working with a company now called On Tap, and it's basically what radio is going to be in the future. The Big 49, when I say we, I mean the Big 49, my partner's in that. The Big49.com, if you're looking for a great rock station, not to brag, but the Big 49 not only is a great rock station, we have found out that it is a top 10 listen to rock station in the entire iHeart format. So if you have iHeart Radio, Big 49 Radio is a rock station, and it's one of the top 10 most listened to. Now you look at it and go, well, it's not in the number top 10 in the rank. That's because they promote all of their own stuff, their iHeart brand, before anybody else. But Big 49 kicks ass on the iHeart format. So check that out. And then our 80s channel is a beast. It's called TV 80s. It is such a good 80s channel. But now we're working with a company that is doing digital marketing. And basically, you log in, and if you have a business, you just go, okay, I want to do commercials. And you pick the budget that you want to advertise with, and you pick the demo you want to hit, and it pops it up. You make your commercial all on the website, and then your campaign runs. It's really cool, and that's kind of where radio is going. They don't need salespeople anymore. Salespeople are going to become extinct, as radio is going to become extinct. It's going to be all streaming. But a company that we're working with, the On Tap company, they also do a ton of radios, broadcast radio stations. In fact, we're the only streaming product they've touched because we have such a large listener base on the Big 49. So hopefully Big 49 will start finally making money. That would be nice. But Big 49's out there. West of Nashville is our country station. It's really good. There's a number of them. And one of the stations that we don't own, but it's on our network because everything is done out of the Big 49 network, is a thing called iRock Radio. And that is only really listenable. They may have changed it, but at one point you could only listen to iRock Radio in the International Space Station. And it's a rock station too. And it was the guy that owns the rights to radio in outer space. So when people start going to space tourism and you want to listen to music, this dude owns it. He owns the rights. And the only place right now where people are at in outer space is typically at the International Space Station. And it's broadcast up there. So right next to the Big 49 is a machine that beams up into outer space and plays that. But that's also in our network. And then you guys know Frank Kramer of Heidi and Frank. And Frank has a station with us, too. Frank owns it completely. It's his station. But it's part of the network with us. And that is called Crack, K-R-A-K. And Frank's on there a lot. Frank goes on there and does a lot of stuff. When Frank goes on there and just does his shows, freaking massive numbers. It's really, really cool. But that's all that is going on. Firewise, there's something weird going on. I'll go ahead and tell you guys. Today, Friday, at some point, I am supposed to talk to someone at one of the local news stations, and I've said this from the get-go, and I've talked about it here ad nauseum, but I'm really annoyed about that little bill we got every year for the last 23 years for brush clearance. And I watch all the politicians say, well, nothing could have avoided this. We live in California. It's global warming. We have climate change, and it's dry. Last year was wet, and it made more fuel for the fires. This year was dry, so we had the recipe when the Santa Ana winds kicked in. And, yeah, okay, but let's dial it back from global warming. That's just the pattern of this area. Knowing that, that's the pattern. Knowing that they've been charging us for a brush clearance fee, just my neighborhood alone, 5,000 houses burned. If you pay 400, I think we're paying closer to 500 now, but if you just average it down to 400, the 5,000 houses that burned pay $2 million a year to the county of Los Angeles for brush clearance, which has never been done in the 23 years I live there. And I've been talking about it, and no one's touched that issue. And like I said, a lot of rich people live in the Palisades, and they don't care about $300 bill or $400 bill. And I don't care about it, really. If it was like, cool, it's to help brush clearance so my house won't burn down, I'm totally cool with that. And besides the fact that the fire department sends one of their lesbians knocking on my door and is like, hey, if you don't cut your trees, we're going to fine you, and then I got to pay extra for that. But it's like, wait a minute, I pay you for brush clearance. You mofos should be out there doing it. But no, it's extra to do your own. They'll cite you, but don't get me started on that. Let's go back to that bill. Well, I finally sent this to a news station, and they were like, hey, if you have a story about the fire, let us know. And I sent it to them, and then they've reached out to me and said, hey, we want to talk to you. This is very interesting. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if they're going to want to talk to me or if they're just going to do the story or what it is. But and this is what put me over the edge. Some douchebag a-hole, and I don't know if you guys have seen, but I've been tearing people to shreds on social media that I'm just over the dumbness. I'm over dumbness. And political people and people that are really just telling lies, I'm blasting people and in the comment sections. But I saw a guy, and he was an apologist for the politicians here in LA, and he's like, people are talking, by the way, a guy that didn't lose his fucking house in the fire, a guy that had no fucking skin in the game, came on and talked shit about all the people like me that are on there ranting about all the bullshit and F. Gavin Newsom and F. Karen Bass and all that stuff. And like, it's no politician's fault. There's nothing anyone could have done. And the brush can't be cleared because it's this type of brush. It's not trees. You can thin the brush if it's forest, but we don't have forest here. We have sage, whatever. And then I was like, you know what? It pissed me off so bad that I not only destroyed that person and ash shredded them in the comment section, but then I called the news and I'm like, you know what? If what these tool bag apologists are saying for them, that they couldn't have done anything to prevent this fire, why have they not leveled with us? Where's that money? How do I get my money back? And asked them. And I even told the reporter in the thing, I said, if you can get any politician on and ask them about brush clearance, the second they tell you that brush can't be cleared, then smash them over the head with the brush clearance bill that LA County sends to all the people in the Palisades and everywhere in Malibu and anywhere there's foothills and brush fire danger. You pay that, and you have for a very long time. So they're like, that's interesting. So hopefully I'm going to get an ass full of a politician, because I will go on and talk some smizzack. That is what I do. I'll let you know if I do talk to them. Well, I'm definitely talking to them, but if it goes down to where it's an actual story, I will let you guys know, and I'll let you know where to watch and all that stuff. So that could be fun. Also, shout out to the dude Luke I'm following. You'll see me put his videos on my feed every now and then. He's a dude that owns a construction company. He's making money on this thing, but he's not a tool. He's not appointed by the city or the state. He's not one of their freaking flunkies, and they're making the dude's life really hard, and it's fun to watch his stuff as well. online because he's had a hell of a time getting permits to actually do the work to rebuild. And if you want to know who's rebuilding in any of the fire areas right now, exactly nobody, because they're still not even a drop in the bucket of getting cleaned up, because the red tape that they promised would be gone is not gone. And there's a lot of bullshit people are dealing with trying to get their lots cleaned up. So that is where I'm at on fitness, fatness, post-fire, and dog world. That is everything in a nutshell. I'm going to get out of here. I'll talk to you guys again on Monday with a brand new episode of Fat to Fit or Else.